the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen. Okay. Go ahead and return to your seats for me. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for gathering around them. Amen. So we're praying against giants this morning. And God is all powerful in all of these things. And yet, as I shared with you earlier, how you see those giants is very important in what God is going to do in and through you. Now again, God is not bound by our levels of belief or disbelief. God can do whatever He pleases, and that's what we seek, and that's what we desire. But as we're talking about David and Goliath, David had a choice on how he was going to view the circumstances around him. Again, we have that same choice this morning. You can either allow those things to overwhelm you, to take away your joy, to remove your ability to interact with people, to change your disposition. How many of you have known people like that? Or maybe you're that way. When things get really tough, people are going, I don't want to be around that guy. I don't want to be around them. Because they become a completely different person. Well, see, my friends, I believe as Christians, we ought not to live the way the world lives. We have been called to a higher purpose, and that is to trust in God in all things. Trust Him. So David, when he came out and saw the giant, again, you remember the story. It's so familiar. Miles did a great job of, we're not going to go through the entire chapter again, but just to refresh on the story. The Philistines and the Israelites are at war. They've gathered in a place called the Valley of Elah. The Philistines are lined up on one side, the Israelites are lined up on the other. And twice a day, which just so happened to coincide with the time that the Israelites were in prayer, Goliath would come out. He is their champion. The guy's over 9 feet tall. I just saw some kid in high school, 7'7", Dave. Did you see this? He committed to play for Florida. He's going to play down there in the South. 7'7". He's 18 years old. He's 2 feet shorter than Goliath was. Goliath was over 9 feet tall. And so this guy comes out and he starts making all these threats and challenges the Israelites. You send out your best guy, he comes against me. If he beats me, we're your servants. If I beat him, you're our servants. 6 weeks he's doing this every single day. And David comes upon this scene. He's a shepherd boy. His dad, Jesse, had sent him with provisions to give to his 3 brothers who were a part of Saul's army. You with me? I'm rolling through this fast. I think, don't listen too slow. You got to keep up with me. So he comes and he brings all this and he hears Goliath come out and start making these threats. And David in that moment had a choice in how he was going to respond to what it was that he was hearing. Hayden Robinson, the great preacher, wrote this. He said, in any situation, who and what you are determines what you see. And what you see determines how you act. Does that make sense? I shared that with you last week. But how important is that? Who are you? That's the first thing that you need to come to a decision about. Who are you? Well, if someone asks me that, I tell them, I'm a child of God. I am a sinner saved by grace. I have power and authority in this world, not of my own, but of what He has given me as His child. Each and every one of you have that same authority. You have that same power because of Jesus Christ, because of God's presence. That's why we pray like we do for Tina. That's why we pray like we do for Hugh and for everybody that needs prayer. We don't do that in some kind of a, geez, I hope this works. You know, I want you to feel better. Maybe at least you'll be a little comforted. No, heal her. Heal him. That's what we go after because He is a great and a mighty God. And so David is dealing with all of this, watching what Goliath is doing. And David then had the choice to either respond in a way that was filled with faith or without faith. Same choices each and every one of you have every single day. Do you go after those things? Do you deal with the things of your life filled with the faith in who God is, or without faith in Him and faith in yourself? Your own abilities, your own capabilities. Can I share something with you? Rather personal. When I've done that, it's never ended well. It's never gone well. Again, I call it the car of my life. We all have the car of our lives. When I get behind the wheel, boom, I drive it straight into a tree every time. I don't know why, Clayton. I can never seem to avoid the tree. So I learned early on, I don't want to be in that driver's seat. I want to relinquish my life to Him fully. But you see, what so many people do is when things get more difficult, we tend to want to take the wheel back, right? Now, don't look at me like you're all innocent and righteous and all perfect. You're not. I'm not. Okay, Roxanne is. But I'm not. That's what you get for sitting up front. I tell you guys this all the time. You cannot sit in the front. I don't have Karen today, so I got to. But that's what we do. When things get intense, we want to take the wheel. We want to be the ones that are in control. And suddenly, my prayers are just more of asking Him to come in and sprinkle something happy on what it is I've already decided to do. When in reality, as a child of God, I am going to Him first in all things. Father, Your will be done in my life, even if it doesn't go the way that I think that it should. Even if it doesn't proceed in the way that I want it to. Even if it isn't happening in the time frame that I want it to. Now I'm speaking from experience. Katarina and I are walking through a time right now, and some of you are aware of what it is, and we want it done 2 months ago. It's been a long time, and we need it done. But we have to keep trusting Him, because His time is never our time. So we asked last week, what does being faithless bring? What does being faithless bring, as opposed to what being filled with faith brings? Well, to live in faithlessness, in other words, on my own, often brings fear. It brings fear to those situations. How many of you walking through those tough times realize, I am just afraid right now, whatever that might look like? And fear comes, church, when we live only by sight and not by faith. When you only live by sight and not faith. And so that's why Paul writes that, because the secondary element of that fear is that it spreads to the people around you. And see, men, this is why, as the priests of our home, we need to be walking in faithfulness, not faithlessness. We need to be walking in the confidence of God, because how you are impacted, what you are doing, men, spreads to your family. It goes to your wife. It goes to your children. You see, I realize this is an archaic kind of a thinking, because our world does not accept that. The world does not accept that there is order in the home, because it's perverted it and turned it into lordship, and that's not what God called men to be in their home. He called us to be loving and supportive, sacrificial in the way that we live. But we don't do that anymore, and we wonder why families are constantly crumbling. But see, in this situation, as David is coming out, he is not filled with fear. He is filled with courage, because that's what being filled with faith brings. It's courage. And while the view of faithlessness takes us away from the things of God, the view of faith with courage leads us to Him, because it's not reliant on our own physical and mental and emotional capabilities. How many of you would say, thank God it's not all dependent on me? As things come and things go, whatever it might be, and every single one of them are different. No, you're not worse or easier than I am. It's no different. It's just things that we have to deal with. I am so grateful that God makes Himself available in my life this morning. And He makes Himself available for you in whatever it is that you're dealing with. So here's what I want to look at this morning real quick. Four things that David did to deal with the obstacles that were present when he entered into that camp. When the giant presented himself, there were four obstacles that David demonstrated. He understood what it meant to be filled with faith. Here's the first one. He ignored the doubters. That's in the 33rd verse of the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel that Miles read for us. It said, Saul replied, "You are not able to go out." David had said, "Hey, I'll go take care of this clown. I got him. I got this. Just move out of the way." Saul goes, Wait, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. And he has been a fighting man from his youth. That's sowing doubt into someone else's mind. And you see again, mom, dad, grandpa, grandmom, do you know why it's so important to speak encouraging words to your children and your grandchildren? This is why. It's because you don't want to fill their minds and their hearts with doubt. You want to encourage them. You want to put them in a position to be successful because they're not having to wrestle with negative words that have been poured into their lives. And David ignored that. Saul was filling him with doubt. Certainly, his brothers didn't think he could do it. What did they say? What are you doing up? Who's watching the sheep? Huh? Who's watching the sheep over there? You're out here fooling around. We know how conceited you are, David. That's what they said to him. So they didn't think he could. And then you got to believe that every soldier that heard this kid come in is going, seriously? This kid's going to go out against him. Well, see, David ignored all of those things. Because if he had not, there is no way that he would have been able to be present for what it was that God wanted to do. Let me give you an example of that. In the 1930s, there were two brothers named Richard and Maurice. And they determined that they wanted to begin a restaurant together, but they decided they only really wanted to serve one kind of food in their restaurant, just one. And they would go to people to ask them to financially back them with this, to support them, and they got turned down time after time after time. And the answer they got was always the same. Nobody wants to come to a restaurant that only serves one kind of food. People want to go where there's variety. They want to have a choice of the things that they can eat. But Richard and Maurice ignored them. They pushed through. And because of that, today, in over 119 countries, there are over 40,000 McDonald's because they didn't listen. Now, this is not to determine whether you eat McDonald's or not, or whether it's good for you or not. That's a whole other discussion. But the fact is, when these two brothers decided they wanted to do something, they didn't listen to the doubters. And David refused to have that be a part of what his thinking was. Can I encourage you this morning? Don't listen to the doubters. Now, I am not talking about ignoring godly, loving advice that someone may provide to you. But you have to know who it is that's talking to you. You don't just share with anybody and say, hey, Nate, I need this entire room here to tell me what they think about a certain thing. But there are a handful that I would go to, that I trust, that I have a relationship with. And each and every one of you should have that core group of people that you know that you can go to, that love you, that want the best for you. Now, I'm talking about doubters. I'm talking about those people that no matter what's going on, the sun could be shining brilliantly out, and yet they'll be saying, yeah, well, that's not good for my car's finish. You know, the sun, it bakes, it makes it, the bird poops, and it just solidifies on my... I don't know how I start talking about bird stuff here in the middle of a sermon, but just make seeing if you're listening. I'm talking about doubters. David ignored the doubters. David said, no. He said, I'm not listening to that, and I'll tell you why, because that's number two, is that David remembered his God-only stories. God-only. What does that mean? It means there are circumstances that we will come to in our lives every day, virtually, that only God can bring an answer. Only God. Only God can bring an answer, Tina. That's your God-only story. Only God will heal Hugh. That's going to be that God-only story. And you all have them. And the Bible is filled with them. How about the Red Sea? The Israelites are up against the ocean. They've got the Egyptian army coming behind, and they got mountains on either side of them. That's not a tenable place to be. Only God could have provided a way for them to escape. The feeding of the 5,000. The walls of Jericho coming down. The fiery furnace. Lazarus being raised from the dead. Every single one of those were God-only moments. David said, I've got those. He said, there was a bear that came and attacked the sheep. There was a lion that came, and God delivered them both into my hands. And he said, not only did he do that, but he's going to do the same thing for me here. You see, when you take faith that ignores the doubters and you unite that with the knowledge and the understanding of who God is, That puts you in a place to have victory over that situation. To have victory. Now, victory does not always mean it goes away. Victory doesn't always mean that I'm not going to have to deal with whatever that circumstance is bringing, but it tells me and shows me that God is with me through each and every one of those times. Here's the third thing he did. He acted boldly in the face of the giant. He acted boldly. It's one of my all-time favorite verses in the Bible. 1 Samuel 17:49. It says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the enemy, toward Goliath. I love that. I love that. How many times have you gotten all uppity and, okay, yeah, I'm taking care of this situation. I've got this. God, we got this together. And then you come face to face with it, and all of a sudden, not so sure. I have never skydived before. Anybody ever jumped out of a perfectly good functioning plane? You have. You've done. I'm going to pray for you in a few minutes here. There's something seriously wrong with you. Why would you do? No, but I'm told, certainly, this, like, it's a duh moment, but the first step is probably the toughest. When you are walking out of a perfectly operating airplane, to take that step is that moment. Well, see, dealing with your giants is the same thing. You've got to take that step toward the giant. David did that. David was not intimidated by Goliath. He wasn't cowering. He wasn't hiding and hoping, maybe I can sneak up on this guy. He's busy yelling his big mouth off. Maybe I can sneak around him. No. Goliath started to move, David, right at him. See, that's the way that I believe a Christian deals with giants. That demonstrates the faith. Because it's not simply enough, my friends, to believe. You have to put action to your belief. James says that faith without works is dead. There's no life in it. David didn't just sit back and think, well, we'll see what happens. No. He took off after the giant because, my friends, God is active in our lives. He's active in this world. He was active at creation at the very beginning. He was active when he sent his son to die and to pay the penalty for our lives. He is active in preparing for Jesus to come again. But he's also active in each and every one of you this morning. He's active. He's moving. There are things that he's teaching you. The circumstances of your life, all designed for you to increase your faith, to hold to him in the midst of the storms, in the midst of face-to-face with whatever that giant is, I'm holding to him and he's active in my life in that moment. So my question for you is, how active are you? What are you doing? Because let's face it, you have multiple options when these things come up. A lot of people just shut down when the giant's coming. They just, I'm done. I'll go hide in my room. I'll just go to sleep somewhere. I'll just stay out of any circumstance that could bring me towards that. That's hiding. Second thing people often do is they try to not only shut down, but they try to remove themselves completely. Remember Saul, what he did? Remember, they're trying to find Saul to make him the king. Where was he? He's hiding in the luggage compartment, basically. He's hiding. Some people shut down. Some people hide. And the third thing people do is a lot of them just, they ignore it completely. Any good ignorers in here? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But, you know, you think, you know, I've got this down to an art. I've got this thing going over here. But if I occupy all my thinking in this place, maybe that will go away. You see, my friends, the giants that God allows to come into our lives aren't intended to just go away. They're there for us to hold to him. They're there for us, for our faith to increase. They're there for us to be active in understanding and recognizing what it means to deal with those things that we come face to face with. We serve a God of action. We serve a God of movement and of life. And that's what he wants for us. So David ignored the doubters, and then he remembered what God had done for him. He then took bold action, and then the last thing that David did was he gave God all of the glory. All the glory. But watch this. It wasn't just that he said, thank you, God, for this Philistine's head that I'm holding in my hand. Not to be overly graphic, but that's exactly what happened. You see, David gave thanks to God before he even went into battle. He gave God glory before it even happened. This is the 47th verse. It said, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. See, that's before the battle even took place. He said, God already has secured this victory. God already will get the glory for what it is that's going to take place. See, the thing about David, my friends, is that he was a type or a foreshadowing of Jesus yet to come. We have talked about this before. There are multiple men in the scriptures in the Old Testament that were foreshadowing who Jesus was going to be. God sent them and did that so that people would recognize Jesus when he came. Moses was a type of Christ. David, Joseph, Solomon, Isaiah. The list goes on and on. Each of those men having specific attributes that would be recognized again because Jesus would come and have all of them. So when David was doing what he was doing here, it was a foreshadowing of who Jesus would also be. David did battle on behalf of the nation of Israel in the power of God's might. Jesus did battle on our behalf in the power of his Father's might. And then today, my friends, each and every one of us battle against sin and the schemes of Satan in the power of our risen Lord and Savior's might. We have been given that this morning. And see, what I want to see us doing as individuals and as a church family is to stand in the place that God has called us to stand, not to shrink back, not to cower, not to hide, not to somehow take care of all of this because of, you know, I got this. No, I'm dependent on him, but it requires action for me to step into those things. What's your giant this morning? What is it that you're dealing with? We all have them. Now, your giant may only be 3 feet tall. Your giant may be 300 feet tall. What is it you're dealing with? But I want to encourage you this morning, be like David. See that giant in the right way, filled with faith. Because the right vision and how you see the giant through the eyes of faith will give you the right perspective. And that is, I am more than a conqueror because of Jesus. You know, when Goliath came out against the Israelites, the soldiers, I would think, looked at him and they said, he is so big, there's no way we can kill him. David came out with the eyes of faith and said, wow, he's so big, there's no way I can miss. See, that's the heart that I want us to have. There's no way we can miss that giant. There's no way that we're not going to have victory over that because of who he is in us. Let that be the way that you see those giants. Let's pray together. Well, Father, I thank you for the truth of your word this morning, and I pray, God, that each and every one of us, as we're walking through these times, and we got to deal with giants now and again. God, I thank you that it's not constant, but God, there are many that are walking through them right now. And so, God, I ask that our vision would be filled with faith to know, God, that you will supply what it is we need. The battle is yours. What we must do is to be active in those things, to be aggressive when coming against the giant, praying, warring against them, being filled with faith, no fear, but courage. And to know, God, that as we walk through those things, you will supply to us everything that we need. And yet, God, again, we are always mindful of what Jesus prayed. Jesus knew what was coming when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that crucifixion was going to be necessary for him to pay the price. And yet, even there, he said, if there's any other way that this can happen, Father, let this cup pass by me. But not my will, but your will be done. So that's our prayer this morning, Father. Your will be done in our lives. And I pray, God, that together we will know and recognize that the authority and the greatness of our God is greater than any giant we will ever have to face. I pray your blessing over each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Go with us, God. Protect us as we go. Bring healing to those that we've prayed for, God. Healing for those that are just keeping those things close to them. But God, you know our hearts. And so I pray, Father, that we will live every day filled with faith. It's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Amen.